Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's a gorgeous day today. Sox lose again, 6-25. Who would have ever thought they'd be that bad?
That didn't sound right. Gorgeous day out here today. Sox lose again.
Yeah, it sounded like a little bit of a shot there, the way you phrased it.
I don't think it was. I think everything now, when you speak facts about this team and where they are, it just sounds like a shot, but it's not intended to be.
No, it's. I was just kind of setting the table. Like, here's the menu. It's a beautiful day today. Sox
that
lost.
Dude Flexerol is, you know, not a bad pitcher.
Flexerol,
you know, it's, but he's, you know, he wasn't his fault. I think it was a 4-2 lead when what's his face decided to let a slow ground ball to short get past him.
Oh,
the degree of difficulty on that was about zero.
Oh,
and I know he said
right,
that
right under his glove.
Yeah, and you know he was shielded a little bit.
Holy shielded from what?
I don't know.
From the sun? I like again. He
shielded
should...
by the runner. By the runner. The runner.
Oh,
was,
the runner.
Yeah, shielded him.
And then Wilson was the guy who loaded the bases, walked the bases loaded. So yeah, the Sox got swept after sweeping the Rays. The good news for Cubs fans: Justin Steele came out of the rehab start good, and he. Is going to report to the Cubs, I believe, tomorrow. And they're going to assess if he can then start a game with the Cubs or if he's going to need another rehab start. I would assume he's going to go back to the rotation. So good news there for the Cubs. But
can he play shortstop when he's not pitching?
Dansby Swanson with the throwing, that's not good. Some of our fans want us to talk about some of the batting averages, and of course we know they have bullpen issues. I don't know. A lot of Cubs fans want Adbert Alzolay sent to the minors. Nick Friedel texted me that too. Friedel and I had a conversation. He goes, time to send Adbert to the minors. Can you, though, when your bullpen is already? I know he's not been good.
Well, I would ask you, can you give him the ball again? Every time he takes the bump, he gives up a dong.
That's right. I know. But, I mean, do you have anything? I guess you can't be worse, but the choices,
you know,
aren't great down there.
What's truly impressive is that with the injuries they've had in their rotation and with some of the stuff we're talking about now, this team's still 18-12
right,
in a game behind
right.
the Brewers in the Central. It's crazy.
Exactly. Like, that's the good news. With all the guys who are hitting below their normal batting average, with all the injuries, with all their bullpen issues, they're still a half game out.
It's crazy. It
so
really is.
I think that you should take that as a positive. And then continuing the conversation from the last break, someone reminded me of this, that even if we think they're going to go back to Arlington Heights because they own it, they can't get ISFA up there. They can't get any ISFA funding. That's the Illinois Sports the stadium funding
right.
that funded Soldier Field, that funded Guaranteed Rate, the
is
new Comiskey Park. Yes.
Yeah.
So you can't get that in Arlington Heights. You can only get that there. The Sports Authority is what I was looking for. The Illinois Sports
right.
Authority. I believe that's only there. So,
and they need more than just what they're providing as well, don't they?
Yeah, but that's so now all of a sudden you're getting less money if you're going back to Arlington Heights. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I would think though that there's a lower price tag for infrastructure there in terms of like some of the other stuff surrounding it. Like, it's not built up. But I don't think you're going to have to reroute roads and all kinds of other things as well. There's so much space out there. Again, I think it comes to, for me at this point, there is a passion inside their building up in Lake Forest to build this thing down on the lakefront. And I don't think they're giving up. I don't. I don't think that they're now going to scurry to Arlington Heights and try to rectify the situation with the tax issue up there. I think that they're going to find a way to get back to Springfield and try to get somebody else to or get the governor to start thinking the way that they're thinking.
And then before we take calls, 312-332-3776, I mentioned the football direction. You want to hear some of the stuff from Ryan Poles today?
I saw some of the clips today from his time with Pat McAfee. It was good stuff.
Meller, I don't have the chat up. It always disappears on me. Can you walk me through before I call this back up on the poll stuff? Can you at least walk me through the good stuff?
I mean, obviously, so should we start with the most controversial pick that Ryan Poles made in this draft?
No, are we going back to punter talk?
It's the Pat McAfee show, so I would think if anybody was going to handle this well, it was going to be McAfee. This was the discussion about Tory Taylor being taken in the fourth round.
Okay, let's talk about Tory Taylor. Ty was going to ask about him, but since you brought him up, I will. He's big. He's big dude. At Iowa, he was like winning them games. Like,
best player.
Yeah, legit. He was. They were trying to put him in the Heisman conversation as a punter, which is obviously incredibly abnormal. But there's some games you watch, it's like, well, he just pinned six times inside the five, and the Iowa defense is the biggest weapon for him. He was clearly number one punter on the board. At what point, whenever you decide to pull the trigger on him, do you think it's too early for a punter, too late for a punter? How did you kind of go into making the decision to bring Tory to Chicago?
Yeah, I didn't expect him to get much further. Definitely didn't think I'd be able to pick him up when we got to the fifth round. And really the thought process there is to make anyone we're playing really uncomfortable. I didn't play much in the NFL, but I know running onto the field and having the ball spotted inside the 10-yard line is a very uncomfortable feeling. It's disheartening at times. And I love taking advantage of field positions, and really that should help us with points as well. So I think it's going to add to our team and again, make it uncomfortable and difficult for any team we're going against.
He's so powerful. I watched him at the Big Ten Championship in warm-ups, and I assume he didn't have his best warm-up, but whenever you hear the sound of when he hits the ball, it's like, oh, this guy's got a little boom. This guy's got some real boom. He's been working all offseason to become the standard NFL punter and kind of turn balls over. I can't wait to watch him. Thank you for doing that for the break. Thank you for doing that.
Good stuff there on the punter.
By the way, here's a note, a punter note for you. They've released Trenton Gill.
Okay, yeah, so that we knew that was coming.
Yeah,
there would be no punt off.
Well, there should always be a punt off. Some believe that competition is good for the team, regardless of position. So I'm a little, maybe we need blow in a call to somebody that maybe.
We know this. Ryan Poles wanted to do what was best for Trenton Gill, so he wanted to give him a leg up.
So you give him,
he wanted to do right. You got to use the proper terminology.
Do right.
Do right by Trenton Gill.
And he did. Let him go. Find a new
kickoffs.
Let's play this one, Meller. Any crazy offers? Because this is something that I had on my list. And remember, Ryan Poles is going to join us tomorrow at 3. And this was a question that I had on my list to ask Ryan. Did he get any crazy haul offers for that number one overall pick?
No, nothing crazy. I don't think I ever allowed it to get crazy because, you know, we were gathering information on Caleb. And I knew, you know, again, from the tape, it was a rare prospect that had a lot of talent that could help us turn this thing around. So it was going to take a lot. So by the time we got to the point where we felt comfortable, I wasn't even going to take those calls anymore or even, you know, listen to what it was going to be because I knew this was the right move for us. I kept it moving. But for 9, a couple calls, some interest, probably similar situation with the Jets, but nothing that was going to take us off of Rome.
Nothing that was going to take us off. Dunze was their guy, yeah.
Yeah, they were not looking for the haul. They were looking for a guy that can come in and be a difference maker right away. God bless them.
And that was really what was on our mind. We wanted the blue chip players.
Yes. I think that, listen, and I think if you listen to more of this conversation with McAfee and his crew, they basically decided on Caleb, the football player, a long time ago.
I think
Ryan talks about the film. You know, they fell in love with the film a long time ago. Getting to know him as a person was just the icing on the cake. But this pick was made months ago.
I didn't cut that clip in particular because there was a lot of back and forth. But there was a specific when did you know? And he said basically with the when they had the 30 visit with Caleb.
Yeah.
At that point, he was confident they were taking him.
Okay, yeah, so
I think from a player's perspective, they were confident in who he was on the field a long time ago.
Why don't you play that last bite then, Meller, on the scouting process and coming to the conclusion to draft Caleb Williams?
Yeah, we went through the full process. The film was a film that stood out, that kind of had my heart from the beginning. But as we spent more time with Caleb and their homework and got to know each other, it became clearer and clearer.
Go ahead, AJ.
When you see all this stuff surrounding, and I know you guys do a great job of having your blinders on and not listening to whatever pundits or mock drafts might be, you guys know who you have, like when you know who Caleb is, does anything ever infiltrate your guys' building of all the, if people just want to tear him down because he's been the number one pick for so long, how do you guys block that out, and how do you truly know that, hey, like, this is your guy?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with any relationship you're about to start, you got to see the other person eye to eye. You got to spend time with them, real time, and not take everybody else's, you know, thoughts with that. So that's what we did. We sat down with each other. We had dinner together. All of our staff got to spend time with them. I wanted to make sure some of our players sat down and spent time with them as well. That means a lot to me. It means a lot to the locker room. So once all those boxes got checked, I really didn't care, you know, about the noise and what other people had to say.
I like that about Poles, that he doesn't care if it's an unpopular decision, whether it was early in the process with trading some popular players when they were tearing it down, or it was Justin Fields, that he was going to, what he thought was, make the right choice for the Bears.
And I think he's done it with class and professionalism along the way. And I admire that. You know, I don't. You would think that that's a given. It's not always a given. I think he's handled all of his business in a very professional manner. And I know that the guys that play for him and the guys that have played for him, you have to respect that as well. Thought it was interesting too. Like, I didn't hear. Maybe Meller, you would know. I mean, we heard a soundbite from him a while ago that said Ian had to talk him away from potentially wanting to move up as the board kind of unfolded. They didn't ask him about that at all, did they?
No, they really didn't broach that topic in particular. So
right. Because Roma Dunze was, you know, they probably were getting a little bit antsy, not knowing what was going to happen, but everything unfolded the way that they needed it to. And
while you bring him up, though.
Rome.
Yeah. Well, yeah, while you bring him up, why don't we play the one about Dunze? Then there's one more about Caleb, and then we'll get to calls. But here's the one that he mentions about Roma Dunze and falling to the Bears.
Everybody's talking about that number 9 overall pick. It's like, okay, well, they're probably going to get out there to get more picks. And if they don't, they're taking Roma Dunze because him and Caleb are tight. That was going into the draft, people were saying that. And then all of a sudden it falls to pick 9. You knew Rome was going to be the guy if he was available? And how did we land on that particular pick as opposed to maybe trading out and picking up some more pieces?
Yeah, Rome was at the top of our list. We have our draft board kind of separated by different colors. And there's certain guys you don't pass up on. And Rome's one of them. It's hard to find a guy that is that big and that talented at the receiver spot. And on top of that, being an unbelievable human being as well. So there was no movement off of Rome at all.
So that's a good question for tomorrow about, you know, how close was he just joking around, or did they come close to trading up for Roma Dunze?
I'd be interested too. I mean, I don't know if they'll tell us, but how he had the receivers listed on his board. Did he have Marvin Harrison, then Rome, and then Neighbors? Did he have Neighbors? At that point, you know, the only guy left on the board at 9 was Roma Dunze, but maybe that was the guy that they had pegged all along.
Worth a
question.
I'm thrilled. Why not? Yeah. And here's one more from Poles. Here's the plan for Caleb Williams over the next couple of months.
Yeah, I think it's just getting on the same page with his teammates. He's already started that. He's reached out to everyone. I think he's reached out to a lot of guys in the defense as well. Getting with him to throw, getting that timing right. And then getting in the playbook, you know, there's a lot of changes from the college game and the offense he was running in college to what he'll do here. We'll make sure we adapt to his strengths, you know, as well, to make sure that he's doing what's comfortable. He can play fast and free. But it's really getting in the playbook and get those concepts down so he can really spit calls and get everyone on the same page. But in terms of the locker room, he's already started. It matters to him, so that part's easy for us. It comes natural to him.
There you go. There's Ryan.
There's going to be more structure with this offense. I think that's going to be an adjustment for him. You know, the air raid offense is something, as it's been described to me, and as I watch it, there's not a ton of structure with it. But at this level, you're going to have to find yourself in a much more structured environment. So I think that's what you go to mini camp and you go to training camp for, and hopefully when they kick it off for good, a lot of those wrinkles have been ironed out.
And we'll talk to, again, Ryan Poles tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Danny in Uptown wanted to talk about the stadium. If you're just joining us, they went down to Springfield. They got a meeting with people around the governor, but not the governor himself. And the governor's people are saying this is a non-starter right now. Danny in Uptown, what's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So I actually agree with Kevin Warren and the Bears and their vision of keeping the stadium downtown. I mean, I think it's just such a unique, landscape in the country that maybe, off the top of my head, like PNC Park, Pittsburgh, and then Oracle Park in San Francisco are some of the other ones in the country, but there's so few on the waterfront, like Soldier Field. But I just can't get over the Bears just not, giving up more funds. Like, I don't know if it's me, if it's an oxymoron, but are they just, broke rich people, or, why can't they just, shell out more money?
Well, I think the answer to that from my, distance perspective is A, I think that they are asset wealthy, but they're, they're not cash poor, but their riches are tied to the value of the Bears, and you're not going to recognize that wealth until you sell it. And the second part of your question, it's answered by if somebody is out there willing to give you free money, you're going to take it. So you might as well ask.
And so you think, though, that they may end up ponying up more in the future?
I think that that's the only way that this thing kind of moves in the direction that they want it to go is if they pick up a larger portion of the tab. I think one of the other things in the body of the article, and I can understand why, the people downstate are like, well, yeah, they're going to contribute $2.3 billion approximately or whatever it is, but they want the lion's share of the revenue that's created from the non-football events that are taking place in this quote-unquote publicly owned building. How is that fair? So they're asking for public money, and they're going to get, just for an example, 90% of the revenue from a Taylor Swift concert. Why isn't that going to be a bigger split to the entity that actually owns it, which would be the public? So there's obviously a lot of stuff that they're going to have to hammer out here, but I think that, I think that's the only way that they move closer to any type of an agreement, if you're reading the tea leaves, is as if the Bears are willing with a private financial plan that comes in and says, okay, we'll put in more.
Waldo in Elmwood Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Waldo?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I had a question, or I wanted your guys' thoughts on the following. And I'm not trying to talk more about the fourth-round pick per se, but is this fourth-round pick maybe a sign that Ryan Poles has an issue with evaluating talent beyond the third round? All the debate over this last few days has got me looking into his draft picks. And outside of Braxton Jones, who's in the fifth round, it does not seem like he's very good at acquiring talent outside of, trades for veterans or the top 10 in the draft, and signing free agents. So I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
I don't think it's because he's got a blind spot after a certain period of time. I think he looked at Torrey Taylor and had a value for him and decided to use the 122nd pick on him. I don't think it's a sign of anything. My guess is he was the highest rated player they had on their board and they had a needed punter, so he pulled the trigger. I think it's as simple as that.
He's had two drafts. I mean, we're judging on two drafts, and you do have a starting left tackle. Other than Braxton Jones, who is your starting left tackle, by the way, who you got, in the fifth round?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean,
he's still Roshan Johnson, who I think a lot of people Roshan, he was taken in the fourth round.
And again, we're judging a wide receiver based on one season who is still on the football team. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Velus Jones is an absolute bust. We know that. And maybe his value will go back up with kickoffs now, being now sort of back into the game with a new rule. But I'm not discounting a lot of the other stuff. There have been clear misses, but I think a lot of other general managers miss throughout the draft too later. I think the percentages go drastically down.
Yeah, I'm with you. My philosophy will always be, you know, and it's obviously in the first round, not in the fifth round, be the Texans, don't be the Panthers. Get it right. You know, whether it's the fourth round, the fifth round, or whatever it is. I mean, my point is I'm not going to be afraid to make a selection in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round. I mean, get it right. Teams do get it right.
Who's the corner from Minnesota? When was he drafted from last year? That was a pretty good find, wasn't he? And like a couple, the corner
for the Bears. You mean Terrell Smith?
Oh yeah, Terrell Smith. I thought you meant for the Vikings.
No. Where was he drafted?
Fifth round.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a he's a good piece.
Eddie Jackson was a fourth rounder.
Well, that was his though.
Correct, but I mean, you can find guys. My point is just be good at it.
No, I know, but we're talking about polls, and I'm saying that. You know, Terrell Smith is a pretty good – in 2 years, you drafted a guy there. You know, Stevenson is a hit. Brisker and Gordon are hits.
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't know if he has blind spot rounds. It's positionally. Like, wide receiver's been difficult, but the defensive back room has been great.
They're good at that.
Linebackers have been great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, undrafted linebackers, too. Like – you know, like they've gotten they got an undrafted quarterback who made the team. They have an undrafted linebacker who made the team. So I know they've had needs, but I don't think we can say passed around they've been bad.
And most draft experts will tell you that, you know, it's really the top, the first three rounds is when there's a consensus that you should make your hay. And I think the good news that you can look at Ryan Poles, what he's done so far, is unlike Ryan Pace, he hasn't been whiffing badly on his first two-round picks, you know, year after year.
Yes.
Those guys are the guys you look at that you build a foundation with, your Darnell Wrights, your Jaquan Briskers, you know what I mean, your Kyler Gordons. Those are the guys that you need to hit on, and so far it looks like it's so good.
Foundation pieces, yeah. Really quick, Alyssa and Morton Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alyssa?
Hi. So, a couple things. First of all, I know this is not the popular opinion, but I love Chicago and I love everything about Chicago. I'm from Skokie, Illinois. I graduated from Niles High School class in 91. I just turned 51 2 days after our amazing solar eclipse. On April 10th, I turned 51. So I'm a Cubs Sox fool, and I love that we have both an American League team and a National League team, and I love baseball more than life because I was a year-round – I was an elite road race runner in Shamrock Shuffle back in 1990. I won that age group with Kara. I'm a performer. I am a year-round athlete as far back as 1987. So I was winning the Chicago Area Runners Association Shamrock Shuffle, the 15 to 19 age group and the 14 to under age group, elite road race running for Chicago, along with running for Niles West High School, and with Pat Savage himself, who's the expert runner in Chicago. He knows everything about running, and he's now the head official for the half marathon, and he's right up there with our marathon as a head official. So he's a really important person, and he was a teacher at my school. So I understand baseball at a whole other level because baseball is year-round. You can peak three times in a season. You can peak three times, so you have to be very careful when you go out. The poor White Sox, poor guys should never have had to play a nighttime game on April 2nd. That game should have been canceled. Who decided to put baseball games, spring games, and March and April games, and have night games in unstable, cold weather where they're going to get injured? They have had no luck since April 2nd. That game should have been canceled. It's hailing. It's raining. They got way more rain on the south side than the north side. At the same time, the Cubs were playing too. Who decided to schedule these poor athletes playing these games at night with cold, icy rain hitting them and unstable conditions on the field? They shouldn't even play that game. And the moment they did that, the next 2 weeks they had all these injuries because they were traveling, and they were traveling with their muscles being tight and everything else. That is dangerous right there. We haven't been able to recover.
So we haven't been able to recover since then.
The stadium thing.
Okay. All right. This is
the thing about the stadium.
Let's go.
Even George Lucas couldn't build his Star Wars museum east of the drive, south of McCormick Place, and south of the Soldier Field because of the Friends of the Park. Thank God for the Friends of the Park. We'd be no different than New York and all these other cities. We are protecting that land from commercial development so that we can have an unobscured lake. We can see our lake. All of us can see our lake. Poor people, you don't have to be rich and live in the fancy condos along Lakeshore Drive to see the lake. We have no zone. There is no zoning. There's no retail. There's no commercial. There's no industrial. And there is no residential zone allowed east of the drive going north of the only grandfathered locations that are allowed on the lakefront are the Field Museum, the Planetarium, the Shedd Aquarium, and the Soldier Field and McCormick Place. Those are zoned as landmarks.
What's your fastest mile time, Alyssa?
Palatine, I was delivering mail for Palatine Post Office in 2004 to 2006. So I love Arlington Heights Racetrack. And it's so sad because that's that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stadium and that beautiful track could have been used for a million different things and they just leveled it. And that day, guess what happened? That day that they started cutting into it, I documented for half an hour on Northwest Highway clouds that looked like angels that were staying in the sky for 40 minutes, 30 minutes because they started tearing into a beautiful property that they could have used for a million different things. And they, I love the Bears. I love sports. I love everything Chicago. I would never want to be calling it Arlington Bears. But on the other hand, it's a great property. It's a great, perfect place. We're as close to being Chicago Bears as we could have. I would love to have a stadium on the lakefront. But if we do that, we risk being causing the zoning to change. And the Friends of the Park are not going to allow it for our benefit so that we can continue to have unobscured lakefront. Do we want to risk never being able to have our trail?
Talk.
That's the question. That's the question I have. Which one's more important? Our bike trails and our beautiful parks and being able to have unobscured lakefront or a new Bears stadium on the lake? If it's on the western side of the, if it's on the west side of the drive, fine. But if it's on the east, if it's east of the drive and between the lake and the drive,
give me 2 minutes on the Bulls now, Alyssa. 2 minutes on the Bulls.
Bulls, man, I don't have cable anymore, so I haven't been able to. And I listen to those. I listen to the radio. I listen to you guys. I love radio. So I listen to 670 Score, and I listen to you guys. And I don't have cable, so I've been listening to you guys all season for the White Sox. I love you guys tremendously. Thank you for doing such a good job broadcasting and making us be able to see and visualize everything that's going on with baseball. Thank you for what you do when you broadcast.
Alyssa,
I listen to the radio.
Thank you.
I swear on AM radio, sir.
Yes.
I listen to you. I listen to 720. I listen AM radio. I listen to 670 Score, and I listen to you guys because I love AM radio.
All right, Alyssa, thank you. All the best. All the best.
I'm going.
That was we just got hit.
I'm going to petition Major League Baseball to turn the White Sox record from 6-25 to 7-24. Let's give them an extra win for making them play in that awful weather.
Hey, she
Mellor,
makes more
let's
sense.
Get back to punter talk, can we? Can we talk more about punters?
How about Justin or Caleb? Let's go back to Justin or Caleb.
312-332-3776. We need more of that. More of that, Waddle. More of that. It's ESPN 1000.
I don't know what that was.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
You know what I found out, too, is we're your home for runners. Lots of accomplishments from runners who have called in.
Well, I was going to say, and I thought at one point she was just going to drop the mic and say, what have you accomplished?
Yes.
Remember, what have you done?
We had the 70-year-old call in yesterday who was sixth in the city in the 60-yard dash.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember him? 2 days in a row, Waddle.
Yeah. Mellor, what's your fastest mile time?
Oh, I haven't timed myself in a mile in a long, long time.
My fastest was when I got into the sixes. Like, there was, like, I broke seven. That was my, I was very excited about that. Very excited. Like, I ran, like, a 6:50.
Honestly, I hate running so much, I don't ever time myself.
Yeah, I don't either. Do you love AM radio as much as Alyssa did?
You know it.
I know you do.
No, not as much.
Well, you made your living on it. I know it's now more.
I know, but did you hear digital. Alyssa? She loves radio.
That's
I mean,
great.
I love radio. She loves AM radio.
I wish.
So, what happens now with this stadium? Seriously, like I'm so intrigued by this. I mean, she's right about the Friends of the Park. Like they're going to. I mean. That ain't going to be easy. The governor's not going to want to be given any free money to a billionaire entity. Like, what's going to go on?
Right.
Where
they
are
they gotta,
going?
They've got to beat the legislature. They've got to beat the Friends of the Park. They're playing two teams at once.
Right.
Like, they might be, like, if they were willing to fund the entire project.
Well, that's my answer to this question.
If they were willing to do that, there's no guarantee to what Sylvie just said there. The Friends of the Park are going to allow them to then build where they want to build.
That's true. Yes,
that might be more prohibitive than the actual money.
I think if they dropped a big bag of money and they said, here's our money, the governor's behind us, the city's behind us, and everyone ganged up on the Friends of the Park, I think there'd be a way. I really do.
But I think there would be a deal cut somehow.
Yes.
I would not... dispute that.
Now you're fighting the state.
I don't think that Kevin Warren is comfortable with taking no for an answer right now. I just don't. So this thing isn't gonna get and again, like everyone talked about how, hey, look over here. Did you really think you were gonna distract the legislators down in Springfield by making the stadium announcement the week of the draft? Like that was enough. They weren't bothered by the abracadabra. Like that wasn't going to throw them
off.
The
abracadabra.
It may have made the public kind of change their attention, but the people downstate that are, you know, in charge of making these decisions weren't bothered by that.
Tyler, we'll do Aki's A-list on the other side. Give me one great call. Who's the best call on the board right now?
Let's go to Andrew in Dallas.
Andrew in Dallas, what you got?
Hey guys, how you doing? I just told Tyler, I lived in Buffalo for a couple years, and I don't know if the situation with them is the same as what the Bears are going through with the stadium thing, but I know that New York State gave the Bills $600 million to build this new stadium that they're getting in a couple years, and the county that the Bills reside in, which is Erie County, which is where I live, the county has given them $250 million. So I'm not from Chicago, and I don't know exactly, you know, what's going on. And I just go by what I hear you guys talk about every day. But the one in Buffalo, it seems like, you know, it's going through for them just fine. And, you know, the Bears are a hell of a lot bigger of a franchise than Buffalo.
I think that the Nashville stadium is being publicly funded, a large portion of it as well, isn't it? I think so. I don't know the particulars of I don't even know the particulars of this project here in Chicago. I'm not going to know what exactly is going on in Buffalo. It sounds like, based on what he was saying, the numbers aren't nearly as high.
Staggering, right? Like we're talking $2.7 billion that the Tribune assessed what the Bears were proposing in their reporting.
Right.
That's a far cry from the, whatever it was, the 800 or so million that Andrew Putt said the Bills are getting.
Don't get me wrong.
It's a lot
of money, and it's a lot to ask of the public to fund, but I think the numbers here are even more eye-popping.
All right. We'll do Aki's A-list coming up next, and then Will Bond will be interested in this, too.
Oh, boy.
I want to see what he says and how, like, he's very pro- this stadium, this project, how does he think this will work out? He's going to join us at 6.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app. It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
That's right. He's got the A-List. We'll give you B answers. And what has he got for us today, Tyler?
All right, let's go with a Cubs-centric one today because the Cubs lost last night to the New York Mets in a... It was just a kind of a slog of a game last night. But getting into some of the issues that are at hand, obviously the bullpen, a big issue with Edward Elzalay and the home run that he let up yesterday. Will the Cubs make a major bullpen move by the end of this month?
Oh, but the end of this month? Too early. I think Jed's going to try and stabilize it with guys from the scrap heap or from AAA. Or by getting healthier in the rotation and using a guy from the starting rotation down in the pen like Ben Brown.
I agree with you. By the way, I believe Kyle Hendricks is set for a rehab start in Tennessee tomorrow. Just FYI. I would ask you as a Cub fan, both of you Cubs fans, if there is still a need for something like bullpen arms.
Yes.
And there is a refusal to make a move prior to the trade deadline, a scale of 1 to 10, how upset will you be as a Cub fan?
A 10. Like, there's a difference between Tyler's question and not doing anything before the trade deadline. If the Cubs are where they are now at the trade deadline, a half game out, and look at what Jed did. Remember, we were wondering, hey, would they add last year? Because, and a lot of us, including me at one point, thought you should trade Bellinger because I didn't think they were a legitimate contender. This year, they should be a contender. So I think they're going to add multiple bullpen arms and higher leverage bullpen arms. They have to. Neris is not what he's been in the past, and he's not a closer.
Are you convinced of that? That they will, in fact, commit to that if necessary?
They always have. Whenever they've been in contention, they always have.
Yeah, I'm with Sylvia. I'm not afraid that they won't do something because you're right. They always have made some sort of move, especially with relief arms. But at some point, all of these like really tight games or blown saves early in the first month of the season, there should be some urgency to get something done because you can't. Like, who knows how many games may separate you at the end of the year from a playoff berth or potentially winning the division, all that. Like, something has to be done sooner rather than later. And I know that you don't see a lot of reliever trades, especially in the early portions of the season, April and May, but you got to find something. And maybe it's just trying a different arm in there as well, because we saw, what was it, 2 years ago where they were just spawning bullpen arms, but they didn't have the offense to keep up.
Let me ask you a question. If Cade Horton comes up in the next month, which they expect because he was just promoted to AAA, he won't be there long if he continues to pitch as well as he is. And then Steele's coming up here soon. Two more starters in the rotation then. Do you take Assad and do you put him in the bullpen as good as he's been in the rotation?
I think you have to, but you're right. You know what Assad reminds me of? He's almost like what Kyle Hendricks used to be, where he's just kind of that steady fourth or fifth guy in the rotation. He's never going to like super wow you with like an eight inning. And there were moments where Hendricks was going like eight innings, but he's just a steady, reliable arm who he's not going to lose you a game.
And he's getting it done.
Yeah.
He's modern day Rick Rochelle, isn't he?
I know you've said that little bit. It's not,
Rick,
I mean,
Rochelle could deal. I mean, yeah, it wasn't great, but you know,
he was pretty good. He had some good years.
Right.
Listen, I like Assad. I just wonder what his potential is in the bullpen, and he's been so good. Now you're throwing him out of his comfort zone and his routine, and we know these pitchers are such creatures of habit.
Like, right, and you've developed them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So, but who's your fifth? If Steele comes up and you're adding even, you know, Cade Horton in a month or so, what about, I mean, are you assuming Wicks is back, or are you putting Kyle, because Wicks is on the,
Shota, and then you've got,
Wicks is on the injured list, so,
well, then
with him and Hendricks,
right,
you're
now
kind
they
of,
only have four guys technically in their rotation,
and that's without Horton,
right?
What is it, 1975? You guys got
four-man
rotation?
No. You have to have five.
I think they're waiting for where Justin Steele ultimately slots in, because that looks like it's going to happen sooner rather than later. But right now, when you look at the rotation, and listen, the rotation's been good this year. Aside from Hendricks, like, Shota's been better than advertised.
Yes.
Tyone's figured it out.
Tyone's
He's looked
finally
really good this year. Steele, you hope, is going to be the same guy that we saw last year. Like, there are plenty of weapons in the starting rotation, but they're only, especially early in the season, you're only getting six or so innings out of these guys, and then it's the it's up to the bullpen, which has been a shaky mess.
But I don't think I don't think you can take a Sot out without Hendricks or somebody. You know what I mean? You need
think
a fifth arm.
I was just talking it through. I think you're right, Mellor. I think he's been too good.
Yeah.
You can't sit. You can't take Rick Russell out of your rotation. What's wrong with you?
Wait. Did you were you around for the last 3 minutes? Did you just hear that?
What?
We brought that up 3 minutes ago.
No, I know. I said you can't take him out of your rotation.
Speaking of Alzly, I did confirm this with Jesse. So this was brought to the Twitter world by Ryan Herrera. He said Albert Alzly doesn't have minor league options left. So basically, you can't bring him down. You can either keep him on the roster, DFA him, and maybe hope he clears waivers.
No.
Or do the Hendricks route and maybe phantom injury his way onto the IL.
You can't DFA him. He's still he had too much.
He was solid last year.
Yeah, there was too much good stuff last year. He made too much progress. I know.
He still has an ERA of 3.55 on the season. I know it's been rough the last.
Well, remember.
It's just the timing.
Remember, yesterday's home run, Mellor, none of the runs counted because
this
of
is
Dansby
Swanson. That's true.
Dansby Swanson's error, like, negated any runs from counting to his ERA.
That's a good point.
On earned runs.
Speaking of Dansby Swanson, I want to bring him up in a couple of regards. First of all, defense was thought to be one of the strengths of this Cubs team. The Cubs are currently top 10 in the league in errors, and it's spearheaded by two guys, Nico Hoerner and Dansby Swanson. Nico is currently third in the league with 5, and Dansby is 8th in the league with 4 right now. Do the Cubs have a defense problem?
No.
I would say to you, those numbers are going to level out over the course of the year, and by the end of the season, it's not going to look like this.
Amen. Yeah. Yes. That's like, this is baseball, right?
Yes.
They come in bunches, and then I think those guys settle in. And
what's the Cubs record?
They're 18-12.
Yeah, 6 over.
Well, you guys are good. You guys are lucky. John Schriffen doesn't broadcast Cubs games the way you guys are hating on him right now. My God,
no kidding, man.
If Boog hears you guys.
No, I know. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm pretty happy. Like, someone tweeted me yesterday asking, hey, you guys have to talk more Cubs. How about you guys addressing this? Because he was like, all you guys do is talk about the Bears. How about bringing up that Hap is batting .216 with one home run? Morel is batting .215, and he batted .189 in all of April. Swanson's batting .234 with 33 strikeouts. Bellinger's batting .226 and is hurt. Bush is being benched for wisdom. Nico has 0 home runs and only 1 stolen base. So he's bringing all that up, and it's all true. But yet, like you just said, Mellor, with all the injuries, with all those struggles, with all the errors, with all the bullpen issue, they are still 6 over .500. I think all in all, that's a great sign.
I would add as well to that, Cat, that it is May 1st, and the Bears just drafted Caleb Williams first overall, and they're trying to get a new stadium funded. That's why a lot of the focus right now is on the Chicago Bears. There'll be plenty of time for Cubs and White Sox talk as the year rolls on. Relax.
Did you just relax him? Did you just pull a Rogers/Cap?
Yeah, I did. So, I mean,
are you
going to
spell it out?
Why is he? All you guys do is talk about the Bears. For the love of Jesus, they just drafted 1st and 9th overall last Thursday. Really, somebody's coming at you because all we do is talk Bears? Get out of here. Cubs have played 30 games. Baseball season will be on forever and ever. Relax.
It'll be on forever and ever.
Yeah.
And
it won't end. It won't end. It doesn't end. The baseball season never ends.
Are you drinking a beer right now?
I am. Yeah.
I knew it. I could tell when you've got beer voice going.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Beer voice or bear voice?
Bear voice.
What is beer voice?
Tell. Could you guys tell that he was drinking a beer too?
I mean, I could tell because I have his camera up. I could see him.
Oh, see,
going
I haven't
to the bottle.
I haven't watched.
I don't know what beer voice is.
Like, yeah, it's not party voice yet, but I could tell he's got more relaxed voice going.
I think that's a swing in my chair.
When you guys start talking Cubs rotation in May, you know, May 1st, I kind of sit back and crack a cold one. No doubt.
All right, Yerk.
Guys, what are we going to do? Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do with this rotation? What are we going to do with this bullpen? It's May 1st.
Then he just starts yelling, Rick Russell.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the Cubs were 6-25 right now, Waddle? My God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'd be crazy. I'd be the lead hater if the Cubs were 6-25. You think I'd be mad at anyone ripping the Cubs if they were 6-25?
Oh, you would be leading the charge for ripping the Cubs.
Yes. All right.
I mentioned it earlier, and I know. Look, to be six games over 500 with all of the injuries that you've dealt with, and with the bullpen issues, like, oh my God, I would think all Cubs fans are thrilled at this point.
Yes. Schedule you played too.
Yeah, it's a long West Coast trip. All right, let's gamble here, Waddle.
Gamble.
Will Wilbon be optimistic about the stadium? And say, this is just politics. This is how things get done. It's not going to be easy, but no one's just going to let it go through the legislature scot-free. This is how things get done, guys.
I don't even think he'll go there. I think what he'll say is, I don't want to get involved in all the politics of it. Just get it done. You know it needs to be done on the lakefront. Just get it done. I don't want to get into all of that stuff.
I'm going to set him off. Okay, so I know this isn't true. Yes, I'm going to tee him up coming up next, and I'm going to say, my first question will be, Michael, is the Bears stadium deal dead on arrival after today's meeting, and see where he goes.
He's going to slap you like Embiid slapped Brunson last night.
All right, let's all find out together coming up next.